This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Pharmaceutical and Cancer Prevention Information Channels. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience. Simply at eHealth Radio, October signifies the arrival of pink ribbons for breast cancer awareness. You can't escape it. It's everywhere, but can the same color be the key to a breast cancer treatment? A formulation of the dye Rose Bingle, which has been around for more than a century, has recently been shown to have real promise in patients with recurrent breast cancer. Originally used as a coal tar-derived wool dye and most commonly been used as a stain for detecting ocular conditions, PV10 is a Rose Bingle formulation now in clinical trials against cancer. Now over 230 cancer patients have been treated with PV10, including 12 in a phase 1 recurrent breast cancer study. The PV10 trials are now entering phase 2 and so far have shown favorable results and may prove to be an arsenal against breast cancer. Here to discuss this novel approach is Peter Culpepper, COO and CFO of Provectus Biopharmaceuticals. Mr. Culpepper, certainly a privilege to have you with us here today on eHealth Radio.
Fantastic, Eric, to be here. We applaud your efforts, those of your listeners, and our objective is to advance patient care at Provectus. That's what we're excited to do, and we're thrilled to participate in any way we can.
Well, it is our honor as well to have you today, especially with it being Cancer Awareness Month. If you could tell us more about Rose Bingle, what makes it an effective cancer fighter?
Very good. And I think, Eric, you did a very nice job in your initial comments. PV10 is an investigational new drug, and it's a proprietary injectable formulation of, as you said it, Rose Bingle disodium. It's water-soluble xanthine dye. It's currently in use as a topical ophthalmic diagnostic. So the FDA knows about this active pharmaceutical ingredient and have, as you referenced, for decades. That's a good thing because Rose Bingle is very safe. It's very safe for the body in tolerating in our studies. What it's lethal against is cancer. Rose Bingle treats cancer in a very unique way. It's physical chemistry rather than the typical biochemistry approach. We inject it directly into the solid tumors to be extra safe and to get as much of this red dye, pink in a diluted form, so this dye is red or pink depending on the formulation, and you can see it and inject it and put it into solid tumors intralesionally, and we get as much of it in there as possible. What's good, and we can get into this in detail if you'd like, it kills the cancer locally, and then data has been published independently that shows that when you kill the cancer directly, like breast cancer, you do get an immune response. And this is very important for the industry. Moffitt Cancer Center has highlighted that when our drug, PV10, is intralesionally injected, so when Rose Bingle is injected into breast cancer, it induces a systemic tumor-specific immune response. And that's very important. It's systemic, tumor-specific. So we're helping the body be aware that there was cancer in the first place, and then the immune system responds and helps kill other tumors that may be present, or other cancer, or breast cancer in this case, that may be present in the person. So that's very exciting for us to be on the forefront of this research.
Most definitely. And so how does PV10 work against recurrent breast cancer?
Okay, very good. And we have found that PV10 works very similarly against all solid tumors. So for recurrent breast cancer, we inject PV10 directly in. We get enough of it so it accumulates in the lysosomes of the cells. Those cells disrupt, so they release the enzymes that causes the primary ablative mechanism. So the cell is killed when you get Rose Bingle, enough of it, into the cell. That's good because the body should have caused that cell to, because it's cell growth that's disease, so the cells should have killed themselves on their own, we force that to happen. When that does happen, and this is where it gets particularly exciting for the industry, when we kill the cell, the recurrent breast cell, we get an antigen release. So cells have proteins on the cell wall, antigens. Those are released. Those are then uptaken by the body. So there's an antigen-presenting cell uptake. The T cells, the immune system, is activated, and then other tumors, other recurrent breast cancer, is destroyed. That's very important because what we want to do is treat is the cancer to kill it and have a positive immune boosting triggering secondary effect. So that's what we've discovered in our recurrent breast cancer research, both preclinically and clinically.
What has been the response so far?
So the response so far has been very exciting in the industry in the sense that this publication that came out last year has triggered this interest in using breast cancer, as you referenced, to go forward into a phase two. So we showed in the phase one that when we treat patients with recurrent breast cancer, that it's positive, safety, it's tolerable, it's well-tolerated. We see that the PP10 is either killing the tumors or shrinking. Of course, it's the phase one. In the phase two, we would use even more of it, and we would expect, as we saw in our other studies, we've done other solid tumor studies from phase one to phase two. The FDA typically, as is appropriate, lets us use more drug as we go further. So we will continue to use it, and we've been encouraged to go further. And because of this research last year that was published, we see that the immune system is primed. And just in August of this year, we signed a memorandum of understanding with Sinopharm, and there is some good press in China that points out that in Shanghai, for example, breast cancer is the most common malignancy among local women. And that's very similar in our concern here in the U.S., that breast cancer is a common malignancy among women in certain age groups, and that's where in places that we have interest globally, China, India, and here in the States, there's an interest in moving forward and treating now breast cancer with our drug because we've shown that it is being effective in patients in general. Furthermore, we just last week on October 1st met with a very high-profile breast cancer advocacy group, and we attended this group. Myself, I was included, one of our corporate strategic advisory board members, and then one of our medical oncologists, one of our investigators. We attended this very important breast cancer advocacy group, and there is tremendous interest in the industry for treating triple-negative and HER2-negative breast cancer patients, and that's what we can do with our drug. And so we will want to work with the breast cancer advocacy community, with investigators that are already familiar with our drug and other solid tumors, to advance this important work.
Today we are with Peter Culpepper, COO and CFO of Profectus Biopharmaceutical, specializing in developing oncology and dermatology therapies here on eHealth Radio's Pharmaceutical and Cancer Prevention Information Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Mr. Culpepper, what other types of cancer does PV10 treat?
Okay, thank you, Eric. So PV10 has been found to be appropriate so far in humans in clinical studies against melanoma, so this is cutaneous and subcutaneous melanoma, which is a deadly form of skin cancer. Also, liver cancer, so this is primary liver cancer, hepatocellular carcinoma, which is a significant growing problem even here in the U.S. and globally is of particular concern. So we are right now treating patients in a very important and closely watched liver cancer study. And cancers that metastasize to the liver, which could include breast cancer. Different cancers, unfortunately, do spread to the liver, and we are treating those different cancers in the liver now in our ongoing clinical liver study. So for us as a company, it's very important that we treat with PV10 as many different types of tumors in appropriate studies, always under the auspices of the FDA, to ensure that we can advance this agent that is currently being used as a topical ophthalmic diagnostic, as we referenced, and has a very well-known history, as you said, for decades. We're going to use it in melanoma. We're maybe moving into a phase three in melanoma. We're talking about using PV10 in combination with agents as appropriate when you cannot get a needle directly to the site of a tumor, for instance, in the brain. We would use PV10 to treat disease that we can inject locally with the needle, and then we use it in combination as appropriate for the patient's benefit. So we're doing work to, and the work is underway to advance that. We're treating patients right now with liver cancer and cancers that spread to the liver, and we want to move forward in key indications in the next level, the next phase two, like we said, with recurrent breast carcinoma.
How long before PV10 will be available to patients both affected by breast and skin cancers?
Okay, that's a very important and key question, Eric. And for us, as a development company, we're very eager, especially with such a well-known compound as Rosmangol, we're very eager to move this through the FDA as quickly as possible. This is why we met with the breast cancer advocacy group just last week. And this is why it's so important for efforts like yours to build awareness on what we're trying to do, to build that grassroots support and interest to advance safe, effective drug through the regulatory process as quickly as possible. But to be precise, since we're starting the phase three in melanoma, we do have the ability, we're very pleased to be able to say, and we collaborate and work as closely with the FDA as we can, we have an interim data readout. So it could be through clinical trials, and even if we have an effective rate of enrollment, we could see interim data by the end of next year in a phase three, which would rapidly bring the data that we need to bear to submit to the FDA for the drug to actually be approved in treating, in that case, melanoma, but then it would rapidly be able to go through other cancers. Breast cancer is a key one. Liver cancer is a key one. And so we would use our efforts in melanoma to spearhead and to advance treatment of tumors in as many different solid tumor types as we can. And that's what we're very excited about, that we could see the fruition of for the benefit of patients of our efforts even toward the end of next year.
That's certainly tremendous news. Lastly, how can patients find more information about trials?
Okay, thank you, Eric, and that's very important too. So we have our website, which is www.pvct.com. That's P for Papa, V for Victor, C for Charlie, T for Tango.com. So we have information there on clinical trials. We have the listing of the clinical trial info, which is the service of the U.S. National Institutes of Health. So we have our active studies on clinicaltrials.gov, which includes our liver cancer study we talked about, which includes our ongoing compassionate use. We have an existing compassionate use study where we are treating patients right now who have cutaneous and subcutaneous tumors, which can include recurrent breast. So right at this very moment, even not in a formal study, but for compassionate use, we provide our PV10 free of charge for patients who need to be treated, and this is facilitated by the FDA and our investigators, you know, the physicians here in the U.S., that are using PV10 to treat patients when they have no alternatives. So we have that ongoing on clinicaltrials.gov. All this is accessible and available information that they can access from our corporate website, pvct.com.
Well, Mr. Culpepper, it certainly has been our honor and pleasure to have had you. Thanks for what you're doing in your fight against cancer, and thanks for taking a moment to be with us here to get us up to speed on eHealth Radio.
Thank you, Eric, for your service. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You are more than welcome. We've been speaking with Peter Culpepper, COO and CFO of Provectus Biopharmaceuticals, specializing in developing oncology and dermatology therapies. And once again, the website of reference is pvct.com. eHealthRadio.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Pharmaceutical and Cancer Prevention Information Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.